Assalamu alaikum. We'd like to start the English majlis at this time. We'd like to request those that are in the middle hallway and outside to kindly make their way in here. As we'd like to start the program, we'll start with Tilawat-e-Quran, and we'll have brother come up. Come on up. Yes.
Assalamualaikum. My name is Arman. I'm going to be reading Alhamdulillah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
ما شاء الله very good job very good الحمد لله now we'd like to have brother Hamid come up and read the hadith kisa for us salawat for Muhammad wa ali Muhammad Allahumma salli ala
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the All Merciful, the All Compassionate. Fatima al-Zahra, the daughter of the Prophet, peace be on them, is to have thus related an event. My father, the Prophet of Allah, came to my house one day and said, Peace be on you, O Fatima. I replied, And upon you be peace. He said, I feel weakness in my body. I said, Allah protects you from weakness, father. He said, Fatima, please bring the Yemeni cloak and cover me with it. So I brought the Yemeni cloak and covered him with it. Then I looked at him and saw that his face was shining like a full moon with its glory and splendor. After a while, my son Hassan came in and said, Peace be on you, mother. I replied, And upon you peace, O light of my eyes and the delight of my heart. He then said, Mother, I smell a fragrance so sweet and so pure as that of my grandfather, the Prophet of Allah. I replied, Yes, your grandfather is lying underneath the cloak. Hassan went near the cloak and said, Peace be on you, my grandfather, the Prophet of Allah. May I enter the cloak with you? He replied, And upon you peace, my son, and the master of my fountain, Kothar. You are given the permission to enter. So Hassan entered the cloak with him. After a while, my son Hussein came in and said, Peace be on you, mother. I replied, And upon you peace, O light of my eyes and the delight of my heart. He then said, Mother, I smell a sweet fragrance like that of my grandfather, the Prophet of Allah. I replied, Yes, your grandfather and your brother are lying underneath the cloak. Hussein steps towards the cloak and said, Peace be on you, my grandfather, the chosen of Allah. May I enter the cloak with you? He replied, And upon you peace, my son and the interceder of my followers. You are given the permission to enter. So Hussein entered the cloak with them. After a while, Abul Hassan Ali ibn Abi Talib came in and said, Peace be on you, O daughter of Allah, O daughter of the Prophet of Allah. I replied, And upon you peace, O father of Hassan and the commander of the faithful. He then said, Fatima, I smell a sweet fragrance like that of my brother, my cousin, the Prophet of Allah. I replied, Yes, he is underneath the cloak with your two sons. So Ali went near the cloak and said, Peace be on you, O Prophet of Allah. May I enter the cloak with you? He replied, And upon you peace, my brother, my legatee, my successor, and my standard bearer, you are given the permission to enter. So Ali entered the cloak with them. Then I stepped forward and said, Peace be on you, my father, O Prophet of Allah. May I enter the cloak with you? He replied, And upon you peace, my daughter, O part of myself, you are given the permission to enter. So I entered the cloak with them. Getting together underneath the cloak, my father, the Prophet of Allah, held the two ends of the cloak and raised his right hand towards the heavens and prayed. O Allah, these are my people of my household, Ahlul Bayt. They are my confidants and my supporters. Their flesh is my flesh, and their blood is my blood. Whoever hurts them hurts me too. Whoever displeases them has displeased me too. I am at war with those at war with them, and I am at peace with those at peace with them. I am the enemy of their enemies, and I am the friend of their friends. They are from me, and I am from them. O Allah, bestow your blessings, benevolence, forgiveness, and your pleasure upon me and upon them, and remove impurity from them and keep them thoroughly pure. Then the Lord Almighty Allah said, O my angels, O residents of my heavens, verily I have not created the erected sky, the stretched earth, the illuminated moon, the bright sun, the rotating planets, the flowing seas, and the sailing ships, but for the love of these five lying underneath the cloak. Jibrail, the trusted angel, asked, Who are under the cloak? The Almighty answered, They are the household of the Prophet and the assets of prophethood. They are Fatima, her father, her husband, and her two sons. Jibrail said, O Lord, may I fly to earth to be the sixth of them? Allah replied, Yes, you are given the permission. Jibrail the Trusted landed near them and said, Peace be on you, O Prophet of Allah, the All Highest conveys his peace on you and his greetings and says, By my honor and glory, O my angels, O residents of my heavens, verily I have not created the erected sky, the stretched earth, the illuminated moon, the bright sun, the rotating planets, the flowing seas, and the sailing ships, but for your sake and love. God has given me permission to enter the cloak with you. May I join you, O Prophet of Allah? The Prophet replied, And upon you peace, O trusted bearer of Allah's revelations, you are granted the permission. So Jibrail entered the cloak with us and said to my father, Allah sends his revelations to you. Verily Allah's desire is to remove blemish from you, O people of the household Ahlul Bayt, and purify you with the perfect purification. Then Ali said to my father, O Prophet of Allah, tell me, what significance has Allah given for getting together underneath this cloak? The Prophet replied, By him who rightfully appointed me a prophet and chose me a messenger for the salvation of mankind. Whenever and wherever an assembly of our followers and friends mention this event, Allah will bestow on them his blessings and mercy. Angels will encircle them, asking Allah the remission of their sins until the assembly disperse. So Ali said, Verily, by the Lord of Kaaba, we and our followers are the winners and the blessed. Then my father replied, By him who rightfully appointed me a prophet and chose me a messenger for the salvation of mankind. Whenever and wherever an assembly of our followers and friends mention this event, there shall remain none grieved, but Allah will remove his grief. There shall remain none distressed, but Allah will dispel his distress. There shall remain none wish-seeker, but Allah will grant his wish. Ali happily said, Verily, by the Lord of Kaaba, we and our followers are the winners and the blessed in this world and the next. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Next, I'd like to request Brother Asghar to come up and read a small poem for us. Salawat for Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. I'll be reading a short poem called The Savior of Islam, written by Brother Naila Abbas. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
The Savior of Islam, the leader of Islam, the hero of Islam, Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. You've saved Islam by giving your life, the courage and patience you had to strive. The sacrifice yourself was easy for this life, Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. You gave your family but never complained. You had no water but never blamed. Your family was tortured, Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Without rest, day and night, fought with Yazid to show us the right. From the darkness life you had bought us, the light, Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Ya Zainab, Ya Zainab, the lady of faith, the lady of strength. They killed your sons, your brothers, your friends. Then they came and burned your tents. Oh, what your courage you did show, even as those fires did glow. To Yazid's palace you were dragged, with our sick Imam al-Sajjad, who was bound. Ya Zainab, O Zainab, face to face with Yazid, you said, How dare you treat the Ahlul Bayt so bad? Yet Yazid stayed so very glad, Your role was clear. There was no choice. To save Islam, you use your voice. O Imam, O Husayna, Ya Zina, Salat.
Thank you, Brother Asghar. So now, before I invite Maulana, I'd like to request all of you to kindly move forward, as we're expecting a huge crowd tonight. So kindly move forward as much as you can, so those others who come a little bit later have some room in the back to sit, inshallah. Please kindly put your cell phones on silent so we don't disturb the majlis. Any volunteers who would like to read the Hadith Qissa in the future, you can see me. I'll schedule you to read before we start the majlis. Inshallah, there's a sister's overflow in the basement, so if any sisters would like to more room with their kids or would like more room by themselves, the basement is open, inshallah. If you'd like to make any contributions towards the Tabarruk, you can see myself, Sister Taysin, Sister Masuma Shirazi. We're happy to give you the details for making contributions towards the nightly Tabarruk. And inshallah, the Tabarruks will be distributed after the Salat. So kindly join us for Salat immediately after the Majlis, inshallah. Now, without further ado, I'd like to request Maulana to take the member. Salawat for Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
That's good. Thank you. رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة. بسم الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعمائه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين صاحب العصر والزمان خليفة الرحمن إمام الإنس والجان ولعن الله وأعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله وقوله الحق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد همت به وحم بها لولا أن رأى برهان ربه صدق الله العلي العظيم صلاة على محمد وعلى محمد The necessity for God has been our topic tonight is lecture number 3. Last night we began the sub-discussion on the symptoms and the reasons why it's not so obvious that some of us don't live our life for God. And as I mentioned last night, sometimes to understand what the treatment is, we must first understand the symptoms of this sickness. And we talked about two things essentially yesterday that were very closely linked together. The first thing we talked about is that the presentation of the religion to today's generation, where it has to travel through an ilmi path, an intellectual, logical 2 plus 2 equals 4 path. And this differed with our parents' generation, where they were more of an amali path. They were asked to do it, and they did it. Now, I also mentioned the fact that sometimes that ilm for a 15-year-old and 18-year-old may not be readily available or digestible by their limited intellect. So sometimes the very yaqeen you're searching for is not in any sort of prerequisite knowledge, but sometimes in the act itself. A lot of times people ask, why do we have to fast in the month of Ramadan? Or what's the purpose of a Hajj, for example? I can give you all sorts of proofs and I can give you all sorts of readings and books, but until you actually sit there and you stone the shaitan in Mina and you do tawaf in Mecca and you spend the night in Muzdalifah, you won't understand the purpose of Hajj. So we all search for yaqeen and certainty. What we don't realize, or maybe what I don't realize, is that built in the actual amal is its own certainty. And that led to our second point yesterday, where we talked about the importance of organized religion. What I meant by organized religion yesterday, there were a few brothers who had a lot of questions yesterday, was the Sharia. Those things we are asked to do, our furu' deen. And there's a whole movement, and I'll touch further upon it today, because I want to further this discussion of the symptoms today by talking about two more realities. There is a whole movement out there that says, look, we can believe in God, no problem. I'm not somebody who's going to walk away from God, but I don't need the church, the mosque, the synagogue to tell me how to worship God. And so there is a conscious effort to push our youth away from organized religion, the Sharia, essentially. And I then broke off into a discussion on evil. And that a lot of people had some questions about that discussion, a little short 10-minute discussion on evil, on free will. If you remember the idea, the statement I said three or four times last night was that evil inside of us is at a potential basis. Okay? There are two terms in philosophy, bilquwa and bilfi'l. If you've done any reading at all in Islamic philosophy, you'll come across these two terms. Fi'il means to act, quwwa means power, or the ability to act. Essentially, bil-fi'il is the actualization of potential, bil-quwwa is the potential to act. So we talked about the fact that last night the primary purpose of free will, which makes all of you God's best creation, is to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our own free will. Remember the example of the kitchen and the bathroom and the bedrooms being all clean? The one that got the most reward was the one that they chose to do, not the ones they were asked to do. Right? That's the primary purpose. God wants you to come to Him on your own whim. You're not inheriting a religion here. And the faster we move away from daddy's deen to my deen, the faster we'll be successful. But that potential to be evil is in a bilquwa phase. You have to actually go out and actualize that potential. All the elements are there, but you have to actually go ahead and reach in and make that into a reality. You have to consciously now go and backbite about somebody, have hatred towards somebody, have envy towards somebody, build the egocentric inside of you. Feed the beast inside of you. That's something you have to go in and consciously do. In the process, you take what's bilquwa and you make it bilfi'l. What was once a potential inside of you is now real inside of you. But that choice is there. So one correction from yesterday was that when I said that God created evil, that rubbed some people the wrong way. What perhaps should have been a better statement is that God gave us the tools to possibly be evil. It's us now to use those tools or not. And that's not a purpose of His. That's part and parcel of free will. I have hammered that to death, I think. So all of you understand now from yesterday. Now let's move forward to today. And today let's present two more realities of what is haunting our youth today. What I constantly now advocate for my young guys today, be it 15 or 35 years old, be it millennials or be it Gen Z or be it whatever the case may be, because they're up against these monumental difficulties and hurdles that even I, born and raised in Toronto, went to uni in Toronto, worked for corporate in Toronto, I never faced the things that all of you guys, young guys, are facing, and yet you're here on a Sunday night. So I have the utmost respect for the fight and the struggle that you're in. As you guys would say, the struggle is real, it is. That's why when I hear my elders and some elder ulama dismiss the whole generation, pura nasab barbaad hai mulana, it makes me really angry. Do you have any idea what these kids are fighting and they're just keeping their head above water? It's not that simple to just cancel the whole generation. But you have to know what you're up against. What might be every day for all of you is actually very destructive for all of you. And we'll make that point across, inshallah, today. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The other point I want to make here as a PSA, I just want to make this point as my own thought. You should know that Idara, nobody, not Brother Jafar, not anybody, not Amjad Bhai, nobody has told me, please say this, please say this. Here's a script, memorize it and say it. Nobody has that kind of gall to sit there and tell me what to say up here. I know, unless of course I mess up, then I'll hear from everybody. But what I say up here is what I say up here. My topic, my content, everything else. When I see these fathers and these mothers bring these very small children to the center. A lot of you ask me, you went from corporate Canada to the Hausa in Qom. How did you do it? And I'm not here to tell you my story. I don't think you guys care about my story. I don't have much to offer. I try to kind of think what is it that made that move, and obviously it's from above. But one thing that was a constant in my life was the masjid. These four walls were very, very important to me. My father had told me Thursday night was for the masjid. Yeah, but Dad, I have an exam on Friday, then you study from 4 p.m. till 7 p.m. Then you resume from 10 p.m. to midnight. 7 to 10, you are with God on a Thursday night. Okay, and how we are able to come home and sleep and still wake up Friday morning and this and that, we got through it. But it got to the point where I was dragged, or we were dragged to Thursday nights, kicking and screaming, yeah, but, to the point where we love Thursday nights. And I fell in love with the community. And that begins at a very, very young age. So when I see these guys in the back, and I'm sure my amazing mothers out there are doing the same thing, and they pack their backpack and they pack their 84 snacks and their 54 coloring books and they bring all of that to the center. Know that they may be coloring while I'm talking, but it's going in them. It is going in them. And one day it's gonna pop out of their mouth one day. And you'd be like, oh my God, it worked. So please keep doing what you're doing. I know it's hard, especially, alhamdulillah, we're blessed to be in the summer vacations nowadays, but when you're not, it's hard. Get them to nap now, you know, iron the clothes, something that fits them that's black, this and that. Bring them here on time. Keep them entertained. You're still trying to get a majlis. The last thing you want to hear is someone to tell you to please don't bring your children to the center. Or there's a room we have that's all the way in the corner of the basement of the building. Right? Let's be careful, please. Let's not deter this process. If we want the kids to come when they're young adults, they have to start coming when they're kids. It's not a switch. It's a dimmer that goes from low, low, low to high. And that dimmer starts when they're young, please. That's my PSA. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. Alright, back to my show. The commercial's over. The first thing I want you to realize that what we are all up against is there is a systematic approach to creating a culture inside of all of us that's not God-centric. There are tools right now at your fingertips that are made to numb you away from God and pull you towards something else. It feels good sometimes after a long day to sit there and drown yourself in social media, to numb yourself with cat videos, to distract yourself with monkeys eating a strawberry. Those are cute videos, man, I tell you. It's very easy, and 1 hour becomes 2 hours, and before you know it, oh my goodness. But we have to be a little bit careful. And let me preface this by saying I'm not anti-social media. I'm on social media. I'm not anti-social media. But let's understand a little bit of a reality. Let's come to the Quran. Quran. Surah An'am, verse 122. This is a very powerful verse. It's a verse that I actually read an entire usher on in 2018 in Toronto. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is comparing two people in this verse. The first one, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. The first group of people he presents is, he says, these were people who were maytan, they were dead. Spiritually dead. I talked last night at a house once after this program about Imam Ali describing walking corpses in Najib Balagha. Functional on the outside, dead on the inside. Allah says, you were dead, you were spiritually dead. فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ I gave you hayat. وَجَعَلْنَا لُهُ نُورًا Not just hayat, I gave you nur. I gave you life, I gave you light. I gave you hayat, I gave you nur. يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ Take that light and walk amongst the people. Not just for you, that light is meant for everybody. That's one group of people who have hayat and who have nur, who have life and who have light. The other people, he says, is who? كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي ظُلِمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِنْهَا The other group of people are those who sit in utter darkness. So one group has light, enough for everybody else. One group is sitting in darkness. And he's asking the question, are they equal? Of course not, God. It's a no-brainer. And when the question is so obvious, or the answer is so obvious, there's a built-in answer that he's trying to make us understand. That if you are somebody who has hayat and nur, what are you doing in darkness? Example I gave in 2018. Before I give my example, I would love it. If you guys would please come a little bit forward. One thing I loved yesterday was the energy in this room yesterday. And that happens when you sit together, knee over knee, shoulder to shoulder, move down, bro. I want nice and tight. Yes. Allahumma salli ala. Yeah, Islam is a jama'ah. This is a jama'ah. Look at this. Beautiful. All dressed in black, ready to cry. May Allah bless all of you. Incredible. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So in Toronto, for 25 years, we've been taking our young guys up north to camp. Okay? Quick example. I'm not going to spend too much time on this verse. I spent a whole usher on 2018. I won't repeat all that. This example, though, is relevant right now. Stay with me. We take our kids, about 75 of them, up north, 4 hours north in Toronto, beautiful campsites, 5 days, 4 nights of camp, me and 3 other ulama. Beautiful time. There's classes, there's sports, of course, there's basketball, there's football, there's volleyball, there's swimming, there's campfire, there's debates, there's classes, everything. Beautiful, beautiful time. Sisters and brothers. And the highlight of every day is a campfire. Marshmallows, and these kids put their hot dogs on branches. Nasty, nasty. Cook it for 2 seconds and eat it. That's gross, man. If my mom saw that, oh my God. Anyways. And we'd have a discussion. Jokes, of course, jinn stories, whatever you need, you name it. And I would tell them That look, the walk from the namaz hall where we're praying namaz to the campfire site is a good 2 minute walk, and there's no lights, it's not glamping, it's pure camping. There's no street lights there. So bring your flashlights. Okay? Bring your flashlights. Yeah, no problem. So we all leave after Isha Salat, we start to walk a little bit. This one guy comes, stumbling, scarred, bleeding, this and that. He tripped over this root and that shrub, hit this tree on the way, this and that. I tried to make it here. It was complete dark. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. I finally made it, huffing and puffing, bleeding. I'm like, oh my God, are you okay? What happened? Oh, I hit this, I felt that, I couldn't see. And I check in his back pocket, and there's a flashlight. I'm like, yo, why didn't you use your flashlight? I forgot I had one. So you wonder why this kid would be in darkness when he has a flashlight that's accessible to him. Because light, what light does is, light makes those things that are majhul, ma'loom. Unknown, known. Avoids a lot of mistakes, a lot of injury. Allah saying there's a group that has light and life and a group that has darkness. And yet there are still some people that consciously choose to sit in darkness. Now why is that? Comes to my first part. And the first reason why we sometimes move away from a life that smells of the necessity for God is because we believe that God wants perfection from me. We live in an era, either go big or go home, as you guys would say. We live in an all or nothing era. There's no point in me trying to do it, Asad Bhai, if I'm going to mess it up. It's better I not even attempt. Because you don't miss the shots that you don't take. And we apply that to the deen. So we actually believe that God only wants 100% of my worship. He only wants my perfect salat. And that's why this disease that riddles our communities of waswasa and shak to the point where people are doing wudu for half an hour in the washroom. Or there are people who pray salat and right after that salat, just didn't feel right, and they start again, and they start again, ends up being 12, 16, 20 rakats of Salat al-Zuhr. And they think, oh, I'm trying to get close to Allah. Meanwhile, shaitan is saying, well, that ruku wasn't good. The bending of sajda wasn't good. Did you have all seven places of your body properly? Was your ayn and your ha properly? If not, do it again, bro. Yeah, you're right. Allahu Akbar. And so much pressure on themselves to the point, eventually, the nafs will rebel. Say, dude, forget it, man. It's not for you. You're not an Arab. You can't do the ayn and the qaf properly. Just leave it now. What's the point? Allah will understand. Don't worry. And we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only for the ma'soom. Only for the infallible. And again, a hadith I read this afternoon in the house majlis, the Prophet of Allah says that Allah is with the heart, is with the brokenhearted. Allah is with the scarred. Allah is a process-driven creator, not only a result-driven creator. Allah wants to see not kamal from you, as you say in Urdu, but koshish from you, as you say in Urdu. Does not want to see perfection from you, wants to see effort from you. He knows you were not created to be a ma'asum. I'm not condoning or giving you a boarding pass to sin. I'm saying as much as we can try to be sin-free, be sin-free. But he himself says, خُلُقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. We created the insan to be weak. So the kamal is not to be perfect. The kamal of what God waits is that when you do crash and you make mistakes and you commit a sin and I make those mistakes, what is my reaction at that moment? Is my reaction to chop it in and throw it in and white towel, I'm done? Or is my reaction, you know what, bad day, let's regroup tomorrow morning, let's begin our journey back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because why people consciously decide to leave the light of Islam and the nur and the hayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and consciously sit in darkness, it's because they believe that I'm going to fail anyways, let's just wrap it up right now. And they engulf themselves in something called escapism. Escapism is what? To believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the Sharia. Without the idea of the hisab and the kitab and accountability. Without the idea, imagine now, you believe in Allah, but you're not asked to pray salat or fast or give your khums or go for hajj. There's no real worship. Just you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Christian church is right now drowning in a concept that's called MTD, morally therapeutic deism. MTD. What is morally therapeutic deism? It's the idea that, look, we believe in God. We're not blasphemous, right? We're not saying we don't believe in God. We believe in God. Oh yes, there's God up there. But God is who, and I'm sorry for this term, I apologize, He's for us a divine butler. When we need something, He comes and gives it to us. Not really a part of our life per se, but He's there. When we want something, He's there. A butler inside someone's home is not really part of the family, but when we want something, He's there. That's how we are sometimes in this MTD movement towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you wonder who's the master, who's the slave. But that's the extent of God in our life. Everything else is pretty much up to us. We just try to be good people. God made us such that we know what's right and what's wrong, and we are good people, and good people go to heaven. So you lift all of this responsibility to worship that God, and you simply say, God, I accept you as a divine butler of mine. I'll ask you when I need something. I acknowledge your existence, but I don't want to be held accountable for anything else that I don't do. That my salat was not on time, you had this qaza fast, you didn't fast the month of Ramadan, your hajj was wajib, you didn't do it, your khums, you didn't pay for it. All that is wiped off the slate, and I escape myself from that accountability. Because I can't do it properly. I can't. Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam, Allahumma salli. Again, in Adab al-Salat of Imam Khomeini, tackling this very issue, that we believe God wants perfect, flawless worship from us. He says there are some people who pray salat, and 50% of their salat is accepted. There are some that, and he goes on, there are some that pray salat where 20% of their salat is accepted. And then there are some that pray salat where 10% of their salat is accepted. Now you can sit there, again, glass half full, glass half empty, right? It's up to how your perspective is. You can sit there and say, oh great, I'll never reach 100%. Or you can think that God will take anything from you. Even 10% of your salat, He'll accept. Does not throw the whole package out the window. He takes a bag of apples, He takes out the two good ones, and leaves the bad ones behind. Doesn't throw the whole bag out. So there are some that actually now adopt this idea of escapism. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really, in this 2022, do we need marjiat? Do we need a hijab? Can we not dress the way that we want to dress that's modest? Do we have to cover socks, sleeves? Do I have to give my money, khums 20%? I donate here, I help out here, I sponsor this orphan, I feed that, I feed this, do I have to give 20%? I understand the idea of manajib back then, but now we're aqil, human, everything is online. Do we really need najaf and qum to tell us what to do? These are all people now, and there might be some that actually come out and say it. There are those that in the heart of their hearts, they believe it. It's not just a Catholic Church problem. It's trickling into our mosques and centers. Escapism is a huge issue we have. That's point number one. Point number two, I want to spend a little bit more time on, is that we live in a culture that breeds a me-centric life. We live in a me-centric world. We live in a me generation. And Islam has tried its level best to be a we system. There are things called filter bubbles. There are things called echo chambers. We live in an algorithm life right now, right? What's a filter bubble? There used to be one Google back then. Now there's one Google for each of us. Every Google experience that we have right now online is customized for me, based on my search history, based on my shopping history, based on my location. You know how many Maryland condo ads I'm seeing right now on my laptop? I don't want to live here. I love you guys, but I don't want to buy homes here. Looking to buy a home in Maryland? No, I'm not. I still get Saudi images from Hajj. They have a KFC Zinger Burger in Arabic in front of me. I don't want that. I'm not in Saudi right now. It's a customized Google. When my wife has her Google experience, it's customized towards her. You all have your own respective Google experience, mashallah mubarak. It's all based on your history. We have echo chambers. All of you who are in the social media, you know what an echo chamber is. Think about you sitting in a room where all you hear is the sound of your own voice echoing back to you. So we create this utopian world around us, maybe subconsciously, maybe consciously, maybe unconsciously, I don't know. We create this world around us, be it our friends or who we follow on Instagram or all these things that basically just reconfirm what's already been confirmed inside of me. So I create this world of me. I'm the center point, and everything that I see on my Instagram feed, right? Every take on politics, every take on Islam, every alim that sits there and preaches what I like to hear, right? Everything I like to eat or shop for, all of that now is in this little chamber of mine, and I'm sitting there in the middle, echoing back my own voice, my own likes, my own policies, my own fikr, my own thoughts. If you're sitting there watching, for example, and you click on a monkey eating strawberries, they will show you monkeys until you are tired. It's an algorithm. It's a world of algorithms, all to customize your experience, because we want you to stay online for as long as you can. We want even Hajj this year. Hajj was a DIY customized Hajj this year. They got rid of all the US groups, all of the Western groups, all the European groups, and they said, look, you are the Haji, you go online, click here, this package, that hotel, this AC bus, right, this payment, and voila, your Hajj is done. Your Hajj is done. It's your customized. You land in Medina, Mecca, you're given a bracelet. Either yellow, either red, either this and that, and whatever, someone's confused, okay, what are you? Oh, look, I'm red. Oh, you're red, you're in this AC bus. You're yellow, you're in this Mina tent. You're gold, or you're in this nice massage chair and, you know, eight buffet dinner, and the entire purpose of Hajj is out the window. It's all being customized. Everything is customized. It's for you. At a restaurant, you go, they say, look, I want you to take the mushrooms out, put the tomatoes in. I don't want rice here. I want, for example, quinoa. Quinoa's gross, by the way. I want quinoa, just saying. My PSA, I'm sorry. If you like quinoa, please, don't hate me. I don't get it, what is it? Anyways, whatever. Salu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I get all worked up. All customized. You're the customer. As long as your credit card clears, you are number one. Sounds pretty good. Very convenient. We all live in a world of convenience. There's two problems that could possibly happen. The first one is that we get used to customization and we bring that customization into our religion. And I want to customize Islamic experience more. I want to take what I want to take. I want to leave what I want to leave. I want to replace, for example, covering my hair with loose jeans, okay? I want to replace, for example, khums with me donating to Idara every month. I'll keep salats, I'll leave the month of Ramadan. I'll take away Amr bin Ma'aruf, but I'll leave the Barra. All customized to me. The question is, where is God in all this? And that's what it is. That's the biggest problem that I see. I fear for myself up here, is that you are the center of this customized world, which means what? You become your own God. And you look for things that are only there to feed the echo chamber. You surround yourself, the moment that you come across somebody who might have a different philosophy than you, you keep away from them. And that's why we don't know how to engage in conflict, I'm sorry. We don't know conflict resolution in our homes, in our centers, in our families, at the ummah level. We have, for some reason, this level that either you're with me or you are dead to me. If the ikhtilaf is in my brain with you, the ikhtilaf is also in my heart with you. Why? Since when? What happened to the etiquette of debate, the beauty of discussion? What happened to the adab of ikhtilaf? What happened to actually going back and forth? Let me see what you have to say about azadari, for example, about marjiyat. I would love to hear your completely different vantage point than mine. I don't have to hear someone that simply will sit there and agree with me and create this utopian world where I am the center of my own universe. Because that breeds narcissism. It breeds the ego. Now, at that moment, at what stage will this person who has created this world around themselves, where they are the centerpiece of that echo chamber, at what stage can they sit there and what? And be completely subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can a person be like that and create that world and be a slave of somebody else? You can't. It's very difficult. And you slowly, or I slowly become the manifestation of that verse of the Quran that says, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهُهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you seen the one who takes their lowly desires to be their God? Or as Rumi says, the mother of all idols is the self. It's easy to break the idols that are in front of you, made of wood and made of paper and made of food. It's very hard to break the idol that is inside of us. We live in a society that breeds idol worshiping. We're literally moving towards a Jahiliyyah era part two. Idol worshiping, bloodshed for no reason, disrespecting of women, all that was pre-Islam. No, it's today, my man. It might have changed. It's very much today. Because it's all about the individual. It's all about what's referred to as fad girai. You worry about yourself. Don't worry about anybody else. When I was growing up in my center, typical in the Pakistan, like a typical Urdu community, back then, we're talking about like 30 years ago, back then, there was always parenting by committee. Every uncle had the right to be my father if I was speaking during the majlis. Every uncle had the right to grab me by my neck physically and pick me up and drop me to my daughter, to my father, and deliver me like I'm a package. And I had no right to complain to my father, because he would then grab my neck to that complaint. That was back then. Now try it. Look at a kid the wrong way. Pura khandan jo hai is going to come and do hamla on you. Pura khandan, dada, everybody will come and say, who are you? We live in a very individualistic world. And the Quran, up and down the Quran, it talks about you are part of a greater good, a greater good, a greater good. You are the best. Kuntum khayra ummah. You're the greatest nation, Surah Ali Imran says. And what makes you the greatest nation is not my individual salat, or my hajj, or my khums payment. Ta'maruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhawna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billahi. All of you enjoin the good, all of you forbid the evil, all of you collectively worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the way Allah addresses us as human beings. There are moments in the Quran, he says, Ya ayyuhal Rasul, one Rasul. Ya ayyuhal Nabi, one Nabi. But when he talks to you and I, does not say, Yabna Adam, Ya Bani Adam, O sons of Adam. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Not Ya ayyuhal ladhi amanu. Those who have iman, those who believe, the sons of Adam. Even in your salat, you're sitting in your room by yourself, there's nobody there. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. You alone we worship, you alone we ask for help. Who's this we you're talking about? It's me by myself in my room. It should say, Iyaka a'budu wa iyaka asta'een. You alone I worship, you alone I ask for help. It doesn't. Ihdinas sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the right path. Time and time again, reminding us you are part of a bigger movement. You are part of a bigger movement. Because the moment, and all of that is a reminder that do not fall into the trap of being an individual. Yes, yes. There are moments and there are rulings in Islam that talk about the individual. No doubt about it. If you have a family picnic somewhere, it's time for salat, and you have a water bowl to do wudu, you can't have anyone else pour that water for you. You can't. Shar'an, you can't. That's how sometimes individual this deen is. But even that is meant to what? Push you towards a jama'ah prayer. Islam gives level best to avoid the idea that you only care about yourself. Even our deen, mind your own business. Who are you to tell me about my hijab, or my this, or my that, or my salat, or the length of my beard, or how I cry for Imam Hussein, or how I do matam for Imam Hussein, or I should do this, I should do that. If somebody corrects your sajda after salat, oh, qayamat. Are you a marja? I don't need to be a marja to see the fact that your sujood is wrong, brother. Mind your own business. Or you worry about your namaz, I worry about my namaz. Absolutely, that's not what the deen was all about. And this individualism is riddling our kids today. They literally are around people who are toxic. They are around people who are satanic. They know what they're doing is wrong. They could see what their mu'min friend from the center is doing is wrong. They don't have the culture to say, bro, are you sure you want to post that on social media? Are you sure that's a good idea? Going there, knowing full of what's there? They can't. They can't call anybody out today because they're so worried about them calling them out. So let's just keep quiet. It's like watching somebody drowning, saying, oh, thank God I know how to swim, and you keep walking. This is the world that we live in today. And this whole idea of Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahy Munkar is a forgotten wajibat. It's a forgotten wajibat. You can't say anything to anybody anymore because it's my God, it's my journey, it's my individualistic faith. It's not. Your individual, my individual actions affects the jama'at. Absolutely it does. If there are people on the fence in terms of their religion, their faith, and they see somebody who is religious in the community, have the worst of akhlaq, then that action affects this person's decision. So I ask you, please, let's break the chains of individualism. Ask yourself, am I able to have a conversation with somebody who has a completely different approach when it comes to azadari than I do, without getting raging mad, without canceling the whole generation? And that's really where the cancel culture comes from. It's not just for Hollywood, guys. We've canceled and dismissed groups of people because they don't echo what I believe in. If I'm in the front row here doing matam, and I'm sweating and I'm hitting my chest, and someone way in the corner is holding their hand to their chest, I have no right to judge that brother. I have no right to sit there and say, well, I love Imam Hussein more because my chest is redder than their chest is. Doesn't exist in our community? It does. Because we've canceled individuals. We've labeled individuals. Now, where's God in all this, right? Now I'm asking you, oh, serve God, submit to God, be submissive. You're an abd, he's the mawla. Those are all great on paper, sounds wonderful on the minbar, but in the echo chamber, filter bubble world, I am my God. I submit to myself. I've created this world around myself. I'm the centerpiece, bro. I feed myself. You're asking me now to lower myself and submit myself and give my hard-earned money for somebody else? Let's be very, very careful. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. Because as we move forward tomorrow, we'll look at this idea of freedom. And this fallacy that true freedom in this world exists. We can't get to a discussion on the necessity for God if we don't remove these hurdles one by one. We can't live a life where we are doing great deeds and committing the exact amount of sin. Our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, if you have the tawfiq to do one of two things, either do good deeds or avoid sin. Either do good deeds, keep doing good deeds, serve the people, feed the people, be good to your parents, be good to your spouse, be good to your kids, do great deeds, wonderful deeds. Volunteer your time, go for ziyarah, do all that, go for hajj. Between that and avoiding sin, which one is better? If you ask me, I would say, keep doing good deeds, bro, it's good, man. Rack up those points, it's excellent. But our Imam says, between the two, what's more important is the avoidance of sin. Because that's your base. You have a corrupt, weak base, and you're building 15, 20, 30 floors on that, it's going to wobble and collapse eventually. If you have a solid base, you can build 50 floors, so it's not going to go anywhere. And our base is not doing good deeds. Our base is avoiding our sins. It's the harder of the two, I'm sorry. It's easy to write a check to the orphans in Iraq. It's very difficult to fight my habitual sin. So if we want to get to the necessity for God, let's remove these hurdles first. Once those hurdles are removed, then we can fly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next few nights, bear with me as we get rid of these hurdles, tackle these symptoms, and then we'll fly towards Allah together, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Second of Muharram is here. Imam Hussein now has arrived in Karbala. Long journey. Long, long journey. He makes his way to a northern desert in Iraq. The books tell us that his zuljana stops. Tries to make it move forward. Does not move. Abul Fazl comes and tries to make the zuljana move forward. Does not move. The books say that they changed horses. That second horse wouldn't move. They reached a spot, they wouldn't move. A third horse, a fourth horse, seven horses were changed. The horses wouldn't move. That's never happened. This is a submissive Zuljana. Understand who is on its back. Any hukam that you give, Mawla the Zuljana is ready to serve you. Imam Hussain is saying, move forward, it won't move. And the only other time the Zuljana didn't move, come to the day of Ashura. Imam Hussain, al-Wida. Imam Hussain sends his khulafis to the women. Bibi Zainab mounts him on the horse. He is now ready to go inside the Maqtal of Karbala and reach that Oj of Shahadat. But his Zuljana wouldn't move. His Zuljana wouldn't move. Imam Hussain begins conversing with the Zuljana. Hey Zuljana of mine, I know you're tired. I know you're exhausted. And one last zahmat, drop me in the middle of the Maidan of Karbala and your zahmat is over. That's all I ask. But it wouldn't move. He kept pleading with the Zuljana. At one moment, Asri Ashur, the Zuljana lowers its head, a tear dropping from his face, almost as if to say, Mawla, I would be more than happy to serve you. I'm not tired. I've carried shaheed after shaheed with you back to the Khaymah. But if you just ask your four-year-old Sakina to let go of my leg, I can move forward. Imam Hussain gets off the horse and sees his four-year-old clutching the leg of the Zuljana. Where are you taking my Baba? Where are you taking my Baba? At that moment, Imam Hussain hugs his four-year-old and says, you have to let me go. This is my mission now. This is my mission now. Be brave. Move forward. At that moment, Sakina says, hey Zuljana, my Baba? My Baba's very thirsty. My Baba's very, very, very hot. Please, if you can, give him a drop of water. Place him in the shade somewhere. They arrive in the northern desert of Iraq. Zuljana would not move. Imam Hussain gets off, summons the Bani Asad tribe. Can you come forward? Tell me the name of this land. Mawla, some say it's Nainawa. Is there another name? Some say Shatul Farat. Imam Hussain is searching for a name. He keeps asking, why aren't those answers enough for you, Mawla Hussain? They say an older individual says that Mawla, our judge used to call this place Karbobala. Karb means suffering, Bala means test. That's when Imam Hussain says, may Allah protect us from Karb and Bala. Abbas, pitch the tents up. This is where our blood will be shed. At that moment, Imam Hussain does something very ajeeb, if you ask me. And you've heard it 1,000 times. He approaches the men of the Bani Asad tribe. He says, oh men of the Bani Asad tribe, there's going to be a battle here on these plains. Our lives will be taken. If you can, you men, bury our men. If you can, all of you men, bury us one by one. At that moment, Imam Hussain put up a partition and went to the women of the Bani Asad tribe. If your men are not able to bury us, then all of you collectively open one massive grave and just drop our bodies inside that grave. Then my Mawla went one step further. He asked the kids, the small masoom kids of the Bani Asad tribe. He picked them up. He kissed them. Are you Muslim? Yes, we are. Do you recite the kalima? Yes, we do. That Muhammad Rasulullah is my grandfather. I am Hussein ibn Ali. There's going to be a battle here. If your parents are not able to bury us, then all of you with your small masoom hands, pick up the khak of Karbala and just drop it on our bodies. Why, Mawla? Why this obsession? Bury me, bury me, bury me. When somebody passes away in Adara Jafariya, there's no need to call anybody. Can you please bury my father? Can you please bury my husband? It's a given. The moment that they announce the death, a whole team gets ready. Ghusl is ready, kafan is ready, the grave is dug. Why does my Mazlum Imam feel the need to go to three different people. Please make sure you marry us. Please make sure you marry us. Because maybe he knows that for 3 days after Ashura, he'll be left on the plains of Karbala. Maybe he knows there'll come a moment now on the 11th of Muharram. This qafila now is going towards Kufa and Sham. Umar ibn Sa'd says, take the qafila through the Maidan of Karbala. Let them look at who they're leaving behind. There comes a moment now. Imam Sajjad in the front, Bibi Zainab in the front. They approach body after body, and then they approach the trampled body of Hussein. Imam Sajjad comes down off the camel, sits by his father, looking at his father. Bibi Zainab says, I could see the color of the face of Sajjad changing colors, tears rolling down. I thought something will happen. At that moment, Bibi Zainab gets off the camel. Sajjad, it's time to go towards Kufa. Imam Sajjad looks up to Bibi Zainab, tears rolling down his face. Hey, Puppy Amma, answer me one question. Have you ever heard of a son leaving his father unburied like I'm leaving my father? Matam Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein.
Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein.
Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein, Ya Hussein. Hussein, 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 Ya Hussein. Hussein, 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 Ya Hussein. Hussein, 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 Hussein. Hussein, Hussein, Ya Hussein. Allahu Akbar, this is the call of Ali Akbar for a salat.
Allahu Akbar, this is the call of Ali Akbar for a salat.
Ali Akbar for a salat. You be the witness, he has the surat.
Be the witness, he has the surah.
He has the seerah of Mustafa.
Hussein, 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 Ya Hussein. Hussein, 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 Ya Hussein.
Forgive me, Mawla, I am the one who severed your access to Al-Qamah.
Forgive me, Mawla, I am the one who severed your access to Al-Qamah.
Severed your access to Al-Qamah. Ure-re-ahi, you are the free one.
Ure-re-ahi, you are the free one.
In both the dunya and akhirah.
Hussein, 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 Ya Hussein.
Hussein, 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 Hussein,
Ya Hussein.
Oh Aka, let me go fetch some water for thirsty children from Al-Furat.
Oh Aka, let me go fetch some water For thirsty children from Al-Furat.
For thirsty children from Al-Furat. Oh, will you come back, Ya Qamar-e Hashim?
Or will you come back, Ya Qamar-e Hashim?
Or will this be to your al-wida?
Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Ya Hussein. Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Ya Hussein.
Ya Ummu, tell me, will I be counted among the martyrs of Karbala?
Ummu, tell me, will I be counted among the martyrs of Karbala?
Among the martyrs of Karbala. Oh, nephew Qasim, you are a hero.
Oh, nephew Qasim, you are a hero.
You are the Warith, the Mujtaba.
Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Ya Hussein. Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Ya Hussein.
Ya Ummi, I hear my father calling, Hal min Nasir Yansurana.
Ya Ummi, I hear my father calling, Hal min
I may be Yasugar, my heart is Akbar.
I may be Yasugar, my heart is Akbar.
I am the grandson of Murtada.
Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Ya Hussein. Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina.
This is the manzil of Mutmainna. This is the moment of Inna Lillah.
This is the manzil of Mutmainna. This is the moment of Inna Lillah.
This is the moment of Inna Lillah. The wormy into Nashib-e Sahra.
The wormy into Nashib-e Sahra.
To Ummi Zahra, Uzul Jina.
Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Ya Hussein. Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Ya Hussein.
O Father Aina, O Father Aina, this is your daughter, this is Sakina.
O Father Aina, O Father Aina, this is your daughter, this is Sakina.
This is your daughter, this is Sakina. My heart is broken, my wounds are open.
My heart is broken, my wounds are open.
O Ummu Abbas, Iba Wafa.
Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Ya Hussein. Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Ya Hussein.
You are the martyr we venerate, your tragedy we commemorate.
You are the martyr we venerate, your tragedy we commemorate.
Your tragedy we commemorate. We are the Shia, we are your Ummah.
We are the Shia, we are your Ummah.
We are the students of Karbala.
Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Ya Hussein. Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Ya Hussein. Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Hussein, Hussaina, Ya Hussein.
Hussein, 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 Hussein,
Hussein, Hussein, Hussein, Hussein, Hussein,
پسند ہے
Please get ready for Salat, as we're doing the Azan in momentarily in about 2 minutes. The Niyaz will be distributed after the Salat, both in the men's and the ladies. So please kindly help out the volunteers. Niyaz will be distributed after the Salat in both areas. If anyone would like to make a contribution towards the Niyaz or the Tatabaruk, please see myself, Sister Masuma Shirazi, Sister Taysin. We're happy to give you details for the Niyaz contribution.